FSN Radio.
It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to and perhaps even watching the Financial Survival Network, and I'm Kerry Lutz. It's Monday, 8/3/20. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot of things happening in the world, and pretty shocking, and others not, especially if you've been listening to the show. Our good friend from dollarcollapse.com is with us now, John Rubino. And John, you wrote something here that Bitcoin created a new generation of gold bugs. I thought Bitcoin was a replacement for gold.
Hey, Kerry. Well, you know, somebody else presented this idea a while back, and I can't find the article where I saw it, so I don't know who to credit for it.
But actually, I did.
Congratulations, smart. Because there's been a debate between fans of Bitcoin and fans of gold for, you know, a few years now, where they're talking about which one is the better safe haven asset. And but to have that debate, you have to think through the concept of a safe haven asset. In other words, you have to educate yourself about money, and you have to come to a conclusion about why fiat currencies don't work in order to make safe haven assets useful in any way. So the people who came to Bitcoin were generally not gold bugs before that, but they had to think through the anti-fiat currency case and then compare their thing to the old thing, you know, Bitcoin to gold. And a lot of them, I think, came to the conclusion that, maybe Bitcoin is still better, but they see why gold works now, which means they're potential buyers of gold and silver. And that's probably helping precious metals right now, because it's a big new market with a certain amount of disposable income, especially the people who bought Bitcoin early on. You know, there's some Bitcoin millionaires out there who could easily switch over part of their cash to precious metals. And that's probably one of the things that's helping gold and silver right now. And so there's no reason for Bitcoin and gold to be enemies or in any way, contentious, because they're basically the same thing. One is technological, one is physical, but they aim at the same part of the market. You know, they do the same thing, assuming Bitcoin turns out to work long term for technological reasons. But if it does, then it's the same story. And they both belong in portfolios of people who are worried about the fiat currency world. So by and large, it's a good thing that these guys came together.
Yeah, well, I've always said that, like much what you said, that because Bitcoin is an alternative currency, eventually you wind up at gold, because gold is, originally it was the currency of choice for many, many millennia. And then something happened in the 20th century, and all of a sudden fiat currencies were all the rage. But if you are, like you said, if you believe in Bitcoin, the reason you believe in it, other than as a speculative vehicle, make millions of dollars, which many of you out there did. I've met a lot of you Bitcoin millionaires and deca-millionaires and centa-millionaires at the Bitcoin show in Miami. But the reason you got into it, aside from speculative gain, is something is troubling you about the current monetary system. And therefore, you shouldn't just be locking yourself into one alternative. You need multiple alternatives, right?
Yeah. And the crack-up boom, which is really the end game for sound money people who are paying attention to the Austrian School of Economics, that requires a critical mass of people who lose faith in fiat currencies. So if you take the gold bugs who are always there and add fans of Bitcoin, you get a bigger number. It may not be the critical mass that we need just yet, but it's taking us in that direction, you know. And the behavior of the dollar over the last couple of months implies that that people are becoming more skeptical. And again, that could be, you know, part of the confluence between precious metals fans and Bitcoin fans. And so, you know, I mean, we're heading in the right direction for the precious metals thesis, and basically in the wrong direction for, you know, health and happiness in the world. The world is getting crazier and crazier. And part of it is monetary. You know, we're screwing up the monetary system, and we're getting all that that implies in terms of crazy politics, you know, civil unrest, et cetera, et cetera. And you can trace it all back to the fact that going off the gold standard allowed an aristocracy to rise up and game the system for their own benefit. So, you know, the crazier the world gets, the closer we get to the Great Reset. Or excuse me, that term has been co-opted by,
oh, has it?
By the, well, yeah, the Great Reset is the thing that the guys at Davos are planning to impose on the world. But the monetary reset is what I'm talking about, where we have to go back to some kind of a commodity-based monetary standard, with the big fiat currencies hugely devalued in the process.
Hey, and look, when your whole monetary system's completely irrational, and that's what negative rates really bring to the monetary system, is pure irrationality, then pretty much everything else on down the line in society is going to be irrational as well. And that's what we're seeing. Hey, I want to kind of go out of order, because you wrote something here about UFOs, false flag, or biggest event in human history. Now, it's funny you mentioned that. 2 weeks ago, I was on a real YouTube binge, and there was a guy, former intelligence guy, very credible. And what he said was that we're going to have the biggest false flag in history. It's going to be, the wool will be totally pulled over our eyes, because long ago, the defense industry figured out how to do anti-gravity. They figured out how to create the flying saucer type looking vehicles. And what they are going to do is bring the whole world together under one world government, because it's going to be like War of the Worlds. We're being attacked. We all have to get together. And he was like very convincing, this guy. It was a multi-series part, and I'll see if I can find the link to it. But that by convincing us we're being attacked by aliens, they can get us to do anything. And because they've already got alien looking vehicles, it's real easy, you know, just take out a city or a town or something. Kind of like he was implying that Roswell was kind of part of this and gearing up to do this and preparing to get us into this mindset for decades, going back to the post-World War II period. So it's funny when you actually pick that up. I just wonder how it's trending on Google and YouTube. If anybody out there knows, please do let us know. I'm going to do my best to find that link, John, but it's so funny that you wrote that exact same thing down.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Auron Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Auron is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits, and has a premier 7-project portfolio, including its 2 flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Auron's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Auron's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Auron trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to auronresources.com. That's AURYN resources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, Kerry, the reason we're talking about this now is that the government over the last few weeks has been announcing that it's about to come clean on the UFO issue. And this is from the New York Times and CNN. So it's something that has been, you know, announced by the government and picked up by the mainstream media. And what they're saying is that, yeah, you know, they've been studying the subject of UFOs for a while, and they're real. There are vehicles flying over our military bases that are doing things that our fighter jets can't even come close to matching. And the government has pieces of spaceships that are not of this world. That's their term. And so they're getting ready to make all of that public and give details. So, you know, the question becomes, why now with all this other stuff going on, you know, we've got a pandemic, we've got civil unrest, we've got a presidential election coming up that we don't even know if we can do. And why are they announcing this stuff now? So, is it a false flag, like you said, to convince us to put up with some kind of martial law going forward? Or, is it unrelated to this other stuff? And we're just finally finding out the truth about UFOs. And, you know, I have to admit something, that when I first saw this, this is how narrowly focused I am. You know, my first thought was, well, is that good for gold or bad for gold? You know? And so I'm going to post something this week where I go through, you know, a lot of the different scenarios, right, and see what it means for the investments of the people who, who've been watching this show for the last 10 years and are kind of, locked into the precious metals investment thesis. It would an announcement that UFOs are real, and then a further announcement that maybe we're in touch with them or whatever, you know, whatever comes after that, what does that mean for our money or for money in general? So, it's an interesting, scary subject, because really that's the biggest event in human history. If we finally find out we're not alone in the universe and we're actually in touch with more advanced races. So, or it could just be a false flag, you know, from a system that generates false flags constantly and uses it to oppress people. That's the scary. Yeah. Well, that's one of the many scary things about our world today, is that we can't really know the truth about anything that we're being told, because we have such a history of using lies to get what we want in the US and other countries. It's not just America that does this. You know, everybody employs false flags to start wars when they can't figure out a honest excuse to do it, and to oppress people when they need an excuse. You know, things like that are kind of common in history. And it feels like it's accelerating. It feels like more of them are being used now than in the past. So we may never really know the truth unless, you know, there's video of aliens actually landing on the White House lawn. We won't know whether any of this is true, but it's just another thing in an extremely complicated world right now, where it's hard to know what the truth is anyhow. And now we're just adding more things that we can't really know for a fact, that might be really consequential if they turn out to be true. And it's exhausting. You know, that Costa Rican beachfront condo is looking better and better all the time.
Oh, man. You know, the thing about it is, I believe for quite some time that there are UFOs, probably extraterrestrials. And the thing is, what they risk by trying to control us through that event, saying we're at war with God knows who. Well, you talk about the war on terror. Hey, the war on aliens has the war on terror beat in so many ways and frighten people. But the other thing is that to admit that there are beings otherworldly, have better technology than us, obviously, because they're able to get here, is a real undermining of government and of all the institutions, because we've always been taught like we're the highest life form out there. Nobody is better. And then for it to suddenly show up, that would be literally a life-altering experience. And I think it would maybe mean they'd lose control, see rioting all over the world, and who knows? But anyways,
who knows?
Yeah. So getting back to our plan here, real estate booming, house flipping in certain markets. Okay, markets, exurban, rural, where even suburban but lightly populated suburbs that are 90 miles, 60 to 90 miles away from major metropolitan areas, and even people leaving their failing states, going to other states that they perceive not to be failing as badly, is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Well, real estate is cyclical, which means house prices either flatline or go down in recessions and then go up in good times. So we've never seen a housing boom in the pits of a really deep recession, which is where we are now. So, this is kind of baffling to me. And it's not like we're seeing real estate crash in the markets where people are leaving and spike in the markets where they're going. Really, New York City is the only place that's seeing a real estate recession right now. There, you know, commercial rents are plunging, and the price of high-end condos and apartments are going down, not crashing, but they're going down. But in most other places, you know, the Bay Area and Los Angeles and other big cities like that, you know, real estate is still holding up. It might not be spiking like it is in Montana or someplace, but it's still going up. And I don't get that, except, you know, in the context of the everything bubble, where we've dumped so much new money into the financial system that stocks are up, gold is up, real estate is up. So, you know, that could just be a simple explanation, is that we've over-liquefied the system and the money has to go somewhere. But man, this has the feel of one of those things that can't go on, so it won't go on. You know, tech stocks right now are back at 1999.com bubble levels. And real estate is, in a lot of places, well beyond the prices that that they spiked to in 2006, 2007. So this is inflation, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that commodity price inflation appears to be coming back. Food is selling at all time high prices now. Copper, right? So Dr. Copper is supposed to tell whether the economy is going up or down. Copper at nearly $3 a pound. And I think we could be very well at the beginning, John, of commodity price inflation. And if that's the case, then consumer price inflation is going to be shortly down the pike.
Okay, that could be it. We've been in a low inflation environment for such a long time that we don't recognize inflation when it comes back. You know, it takes us a while to shift gears and go, oh, yeah, prices of everything are going up. That's what we used to think of as inflation. And so, yeah, that might be the simplest explanation for real estate going up and stocks going up in the you know, the pits of a really, really deep recession. Because that's another thing. It doesn't look like we're snapping back out of this. We had the most horrendous quarter in history ending in June. Everybody was hoping for a V-shaped recovery where we snap right back to more or less normal after that. And that doesn't seem to be happening, in part because the lockdowns aren't really ending as cleanly as everybody hoped they would. And in part because, you know, you just don't wipe out half the restaurants in the country and, you know, a lot of other small businesses, and then just have them, you know, turn on a dime and start back up again. You know, once you've laid off all your people and sold off all your equipment, you don't just start your restaurant back up. You know, you take whatever you got from selling all that stuff and you go somewhere and lick your wounds for a while. And then, you know, civil unrest. A lot of big cities are still just in turmoil, which is really bad for the economy, other than the police equipment sector. You know, that's probably
been hey, if you make tear gas now, yeah, or pepper balls, or hey, if you're a beanbag, shotgun beanbag manufacturer, these are the best of times for you. And riot protection equipment. All of that.
Gun dealers are doing pretty well right now. You know, everybody's got guns. You know, they got to protect their houses now all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That's the old saying, you know, the definition of a conservative is a liberal who's been mugged. And I think that's a case here where a lot of people who never thought of owning, you know, home defense weapon are all of a sudden thinking, wow, you know, downtown burned and I only live a mile away from it, so I better be ready. There are riot plays, you know, the investment thesis that when there's civil unrest, you can invest in. But
yeah, bulletproof glass, I guess, things like that. You know, one thing that's interesting is what you're saying is true, that a conservative is a liberal who's been mugged. I know quite a number of liberals here in Florida and New York who actually own guns. And this is like the repudiation of liberal theocracy here, which is that only the police and the government should have a monopoly on force. Now they want to defund and disband police departments, but you're not supposed to be able to protect yourself either. And this is cognitive dissonance that's setting in here. You can't be a gun owner, I don't see, John, a Second Amendment proponent and somehow adhere to all the other liberal orthodoxy, because it's just not going to work. And it's by their very terms, they're completely conflicting.
Well, we're a conflicted country. You know, we believe a lot of mutually exclusive things now. And so somewhere, sometime down the line, we've got to sort this out and actually figure out what we think about stuff. But right now, it's all just emotional impulse, and which is what the aristocracy wants, right? You know, they like it when the peasants divided. Are completely incoherent and divided. Yeah. And you know, hopefully, thanks to alternative media, you know, people start turning off MSNBC and Fox and checking out shows like yours and reading Zero Hedge online and gradually come around to coherent ideas about the way the world should work. And then maybe we can, you know, respectfully come up with some solutions to what's going on. But, you know, we're nowhere near there yet. We're still heading in the chaos direction.
Oh,
which
for
means
sure.
That things get crazier before they get better. We meet aliens, try to have a presidential election during a pandemic. You know,
that, and the that, aliens are landing.
That's hard to imagine it goes well. Well, the last funny thing about the aliens, two funny things about the alien thing is, one is if we try to use it as a false flag, then what happens if the aliens show up and say, no, you can't blame us. That would be seriously funny. And then the other thing is that if we're actually in touch with aliens, the spokesman for the human race is Donald Trump, which would also, you know, that would be a really funny conversation. I got to say, you know, if we could record that, it would get a billion YouTube plays.
Trump meets the aliens. Oh, my goodness gracious. I can't even picture that. Hey, so we talked about law and order breaking down in Minneapolis. You've got militias forming because this is just so bizarre. The police have said, if somebody comes to rob you, just give them what they want and hopefully they won't kill you. And, you know, that's not like good enough. What are they paying taxes for? And I don't think the social workers that they plan to send out on the streets in waves are really going to do much to drive down the crime rate. So, again, they're encouraging people, disarm yourselves. Police, the government will take care of you. And then they're telling the government itself, the police are saying, we've been denuded, emasculated, whatever, castrated. We can't do anything for you. You're on your own. And that is a big deal here because, it just adds to it all, the lack of faith in the government. So if they don't start fighting aliens soon, government's going to be finished here, John.
Well, you know, the incoherence of all this is just amazing, but points to the strengths of a federated system, a republic, where you've got a lot of different people trying a lot of different things out there instead of one national government imposing everything on everybody. So we get to see how this works. You know, if you replace the police force with social workers and conflict avoidance mediators and things like that, what will happen? You know, maybe we need to do that and find out, and then we'll have extra information.
This is not going to end well here.
Oh, I agree. It probably won't work, but it could be that we have to try it to convince enough people that it won't work. Because, you know, sometimes you do just have to try an idea, and that could be what we have to do. But I agree, it's not going to work. You know, look at Chicago, where they just had another record weekend of shootings, including a 9-year-old boy who got killed. And that's not front page news. And in these, you know, the riots right now, nobody's getting killed or anything. So the real violence is happening where people are just running wild, doing whatever they want to. And there really isn't much of a police presence, which there hasn't been in Chicago for a long time. So, you know, these are important data points. We're accumulating evidence, but we might have to try some experiments to find out for sure how all this stuff goes.
Hey, all I know is I set off my panic alarm by accident last night. I didn't know it. And the doorbell's ringing. The dog is going crazy. And who the hell's coming here now? And I look, it's cop. And it's like, oh, thank God he showed up. Imagine if it was real and he didn't show up. And at least where I live right now, fortunately, they do show up still. But just imagine when you call the police and they don't show up. That's what it's going. That's what's going on in Minneapolis, in Portland, in Seattle. Bad things. Hey, we would be remiss if we didn't cover the protest that occurred in Germany over the weekend against masks and lockdowns. Now, there is no more compliant, supplicant population on the planet than the Germans, right? They're like into order. They're into, I don't remember seeing many protest demonstrations in Germany for them to be protesting this. It's just, I think this is a wave. You're going to see mass reaction shortly because now the average citizen is beginning to understand that a lot of these governors never plan to unlock, to stop the lockdown. They're having too much fun being little mini dictators. And now they're like they're little mini Maos or Stalins, and they get to say who opens up, who goes broke, who makes money. And if the Germans are doing it, then it's going to spread globally, John. And, you know, they just are locking down Australia again. And, hey, it's going to spread across the country, the world. I expected it to have happened now. But they've got people convinced enough that enough people are dying, even if they're not from COVID, that they've gotten them to be compliant. But if the Germans no longer are buying it, then how much further behind are the French, the Italians? Well, I think they've ended their lockdowns, but the country's having lockdowns, particularly the U.S. How long are we going to take it here?
Well, you can only keep people in house arrest for so long before they just say, nah, I'm not going to do that anymore. Arrest me if you want to. I'm going out. And that's kind of happening in a lot of places in the U.S. and around the world. And Australia's is especially funny because they thought they had it licked. And then they had a resurgence in one of their regions, you know, their version of a state. So they went back to a pretty serious lockdown where one of the sentences in the announcement of the lockdown was that wherever you slept last night, that's where you have to sleep for the next 6 weeks. So, you know, imagine if you just had a one night stand, you know, and you're getting dressed and leaving to go on your walk of shame. And there are cops outside who say, no, you have to stay in that place for the next 6 weeks. You got to walk back upstairs and say, you know, you'll never guess what just happened.
Sounds like an episode of The Bachelor. Yeah. The Bachelor in the time of COVID and lockdowns. It's like, be careful who you go home with because you might wind up with them permanently, or at least for the next 6 weeks. And can't even imagine that one
happening. 6 weeks can be a lifetime. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's face it. So bottom line here, John, is Trump benefiting from the riots and from the disorder that's taking place in these states?
You know, at first, he definitely was not. He was getting, and that's how it works. The president gets blamed for the bad stuff and gets credit for the good stuff, whether he had anything to do with any of it. So, you know, his approval rating is way down. It looks like, I mean, if the polls can be in any way trusted this time, which that's a big if. If they had the election today, Trump would lose in a landslide. But the cities that are handling the civil unrest worse tend to be big Democrat-run cities. So that's kind of, and Trump is the guy in there saying, you know what, we're going to send federal troops in there and we are going to stop this right now, which I think that plays pretty well with a lot of the electorate. So it could be that, you know, the mismanagement of Seattle and Portland and a handful of other big cities that are front page news rebounds to Trump's benefit. So, you know, it could be that the election gets closer from here and becomes a real horse race if this stuff doesn't get fixed in a hurry.
Yeah, I don't know whatever happened to the concept, John, of shooting people that are firebombing public buildings or shooting looters, at least with some birdshot, if not some double-aught buck. Well, I'm in favor of shooting them. I got to tell you, like, you give them the warning. If you're going to engage in mass disorder and tear things down, it's time you're going to get overwhelming force or you're going to get off the streets. And if you don't, then, you know, it's on you. I get why Trump doesn't want to do it. And I don't understand why the mayors, well, I do understand why these mayors of Portland, Chicago, New York, just sit back and do absolutely nothing and let the people destroy. That's really disconcerting. And then they blame it on white supremacists. And that is just a complete silly, silly notion here, John.
Gary, are we out of time or do we have another minute to talk
about? Time for one more.
Okay. Cause I think that, you know, there's a deeper reason for the mayor's indecision in a lot of these cases. And that is who the mayors are. They're, you know, fairly far left liberal people who grew up
in the 60s,
either in the civil rights movement or hearing stories about the civil rights movement. And that has really framed their political personas. So they fantasize about being the next Martin Luther King, you know, leading a big march on Washington and getting major changes.
I think the next Abby Hoffman, that's what, that's certainly what de Blasio fantasizes about. Tear it all down. You know, rip the place down. Yeah, this is their golden years.
Well, but see, they finally got their big civil rights event that they thought they could get out in front of and lead, because those are their people in the streets. And they tried that. And you saw what happened when the Portland mayor went down to a, they booed him off that.
Yeah, he got hit with tear gas too.
Yeah, yeah.
That was so just.
And so these guys are paralyzed by the contradiction between their own self-image and what's happening in their streets. And that's in no way, making it okay the way they're behaving. But I think that explains it. I think that they're seeing their political self-image be made irrelevant, and they don't know what to do about it, because the people in the street are still their people, you know, and they would rather, I think, arrest their kids than arrest civil rights protesters. And so they're just the wrong people for this time, but there they are, you know, they're in office right now. So it's a shame.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a deeper agenda here. Part of it's get rid of Trump by showing disorder, that he can't, the country's falling apart under his watch, and therefore it's time to get rid of him. This is a concerted effort. Black Lives Matter and Antifa, they didn't just come out and say, George Floyd's dead, let's riot. They've been planning this for a long time, waiting for the right match to hit the kindling. And then they're out there, and these mayors are all part of it. But the mayors start seeing that it's liability. In Portland, now you're seeing the police actually come out, confront the rioters, and disperse them. Even in a place like Austin, Texas, whose slogan is keeping it weird, even there, the police are reacting now, dispersing the riots, and they're just not going to put up with it anymore. The police are getting to the point where they've had enough. They're either going to walk or they're going to do their job, but the status quo is unacceptable. And our status quo is over now, so we got to go. Make sure you check out John's site, dollarcollapse.com, our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. We're going to be having a contest on our site to pick we only got like 10 days left, but to guess the price of gold on August 13th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And that is the anniversary of the closing of the gold window by Richard Milhouse Nixon. What a middle name. And you get the closest, you're going to win a half ounce of gold. You'll get a link. Also, we'll be promoting it. So just join the contest. There'll be some other participation trophies. Might be a picture of me and John together. That'll be your ultimate free market participation trophy, John. Hey, write us, email kl@carrylutz.com. John, we'll pick up next Monday.
See you, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.